Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Last time we reviewed some records unique to Luke, we read about the first recorded meal Jesus shared with the Pharisees, and in this case it was Simon. We read about the sinful woman who anointed him with oil from her alabaster box, washed his feet with her tears and hair, and kissed those feet. There's also a brief mention of a second itinerary with the 12 apostles and some women, and then about his teaching in the crowded house, his encounters with some family members, and the reproof of the Pharisees who accused him of having devil spirits of his own. Finally, we see that the Gospels converged again as the people gather to him and he begins to teach them in parables. And that's where we're going to pick the record up in Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, the same day, speaking of that day that he was in the house, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So the timing of this is on the same day which he dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees who were accusing him, and the members of his own family who thought he was a little bit nuts. But he leaves the house and he goes to the seaside and he teaches them there out of a ship, as he's known to do. You'll note that in verse 2 and 3, it says that he spoke to the multitudes. Okay, it's important that we remember that there's usually three groups of people that the scriptures reference when Jesus Christ is teaching. Multitudes, disciples, and then his apostles. So the multitudes is just this whole big giant group of people who would come out to get healed. Sometimes they'd come out to hear the word. Whereas his disciples would tend to actually follow him around. So here he is teaching to a multitude. Verse 4 says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we have four categories mentioned in this parable. The wayside, where the birds came and ate the seed. The stony ground, where the roots could not take hold and they were scorched. The thorny patches, where the thorns choked out the new plants. And then the good ground, where the resulting plants were fruitful. And then verse 10 says, and the disciples, not the multitudes, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And as we continue through this verse, we're going to see that this is sort of a parenthetical aside. The disciples came to him afterwards, after he had finished teaching the multitude. They didn't just come up to him and interrupt him on the boat. So this is sort of him explaining it to them later on. But God puts the explanation right here in line. And he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you talk to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the people gathered would not be able to understand the word plainly. So Jesus spoke to them in parables. It says in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive." And the plain English translation of this is, "They will listen and listen and not understand. They will look and look and never see." And that was a prophecy in Isaiah. So Jesus Christ did this because the people weren't going to understand if he spoke the words of them plainly. But he also did this to fulfill the prophecy, right? Part of what we learned about early on in this journey through Jesus Christ's ministry was that there were a number of prophecies about Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled them all. And this was one of the prophecies. Verse 15, and here's why. "For this people's heart is waxed gross." That phrase means to become calloused or hardened. This people's heart is calloused or hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. And the New English Translation says, "All of them have stubborn minds. They refuse to listen. They cover their eyes. They cannot see or hear or understand. If they could, they would turn to me and I would heal them." And so that was his explanation. Because the beginning of the verses make it sound like, well, I'm not going to teach them the word. I'm going to speak to them in parables. But it was because they weren't going to understand the word. They were unable to understand it. Their hearts were hardened. If they could listen, if they could see, then Jesus Christ would be able to take care of them. He would be able to heal them. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." And so this was his explanation. In Mark 4:10, which is where the parallel record to this occurs, it says that his disciples asked him these things when he was alone, which suggests that it happened later once they were away from the crowd. So verse 18 starts a new section. Verse 17 would be the end of the parentheses. "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart." So he's explaining to them, to his disciples, sorry, this is part of the parentheses still, I misspoke. He's explaining to them what it means. "When one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." So the wayside is they hear the word and they don't understand it. Satan comes and snatches it away before they have an opportunity to believe, before they ever believe the word. So they hear the word and they flat out don't believe it, is essentially what happens. Those are they by the wayside. And it's attributed to the adversary because he is the great deceiver, right? He is the great deceiver. Verse 20. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon or immediately with joy receives it." Okay, so he's happy to hear it. "Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth or endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." So the stony ground is someone who hears the word gladly, endures for a little bit, But then when trouble shows up for that word's sake, they give it up. Maybe they hear the word, come to a couple fellowships, and their friends say, what are you doing going around with those Jesus freaks, those Bible thumpers? And then they're like, yeah, you're right. And they give it up. That's the stony ground. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So again, this person hears the word, but then other things in the world choke it out. The cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world, they become more important, and they choke it out. And verse 23 says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit. So that's the three parts. He hears the word, he understands the word, and then he bears fruit. He applies the word, and it comes to pass. The others never bore fruit. Either it was taken away from them, it was choked out, they never had a chance to believe it. But here, they bear fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And that's the end of the parenthetical reference. And so he explains to his disciples what it means, what this parable means. Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. That parable is in all three of the Gospels, but there's a couple extra in Mark here that we're going to look at. Mark 4:21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And not to be set on a candlestick. And the word candle and candlestick there is lamp and lamppost. They would have these little lamps, you know, like the genie and the lamp kind of thing. That's what they would burn for light. And they said, is it brought to be put under a bushel? Do you hide that light? Do you put it under your bed? Sounds dangerous to me. And not to set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So this parable about the candlestick is that the word of God is being revealed to these people. This new word of God that Jesus Christ is bringing wasn't meant to be hid. It wasn't meant to be put under a bed or under a bushel. That it's being held forth. It's no longer secret. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he doesn't know how. So another parable that he's relating to, and this time he's relating it to the kingdom of God. And this is what he came to preach about, was the kingdom of God. And he said the kingdom of God is like a guy who goes out and plants seed. Every day he gets up, and he doesn't know how the plant comes up, but he comes out and he sees it spring up and grow. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth he in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's the tiniest seed. But when it is grown, It groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs or bushes, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And so this parable here about the growing, the previous parable, is that God gives the increase, right? That we don't have to worry about it. It's not our doing, right? The sower goes out and sows it and puts it in the ground, and then that's it, right? He tends to it, waters it, and it grows on its own. He's not going in there and, like, you know, putting all the pieces together to make a plant. He plants the seed, he waters it, and it grows. God gives the increase. And Paul talks about this, right, in the epistles, that he and Apollos, they water, but God gives the increase. So the kingdom of God, it's God who gives the increase in that kingdom, right? So the people who are going to believe, it's not up to us to get them to believe. It's up to us to put out the seed. It's up to us to speak the word. God gives the increase. And then in talking about the mustard seed, it's the little things, these great things that come from these tiny little things, right? The kingdom of God is going to be this great and fantastic thing, and it has this very humble beginning of us speaking the word. And then people get born again, and then they speak the word, and then they get born again, and God's family grows. And that's the illustration that Jesus Christ is making. Go to Matthew 13. You can put a finger here, Matthew 13, 24. So back to the parables in Matthew. Those couple are unique to Mark. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sows good seed in his field. He likes to talk in parables about farmers. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Tares is like weeds. So a man sows all these seeds for wheat, a good crop, and somebody, an enemy, came in and basically planted a bunch of weeds with it. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, the weeds. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares? Where did all these weeds come from? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Should we go pluck out all the weeds? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, while you're plucking out those weeds, you root up or pull up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth, saying unto him, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto one of them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so he's talking about the coming kingdom of God. And the parable about the wheat and the tares is a parable that deals with those who believe and who are born again because they're good seed, and those who are not, who are of the enemy, who is the adversary. who are of that seed, and they're also out there, right? It says that they were planted among them. And then it talks about how we coexist with them, right? We live with people who do devilish things. But when Christ comes back, when the harvest comes and it's time to gather everything up, it says that they will be bundled together and burnt up. And then it says, the rest of us will be gathered into my barn, right? We get to spend eternity with the Father. And Jesus Christ is teaching them about these things, or sharing these snippets with them in parables, because they're not going to be able to understand the full truth of it all. And we read about the mustard seed in Mark, but verse 33 talks about a parallel to that in the same concept. Jesus Christ, in a couple places, teaches the same parable to both a man's point of view, something that men's work would do, and something that women's work would do. And so when it talks about planting of the mustard seed, that was something associated to a man's job. And then when it talks about the leaven in the bread, that was associated to a woman's job. But they have the same principle, that great things come from these tiny little beginnings. You put in a little bit of leaven and it leavens the whole loaf, right? And it's the same idea with the mustard seed. A tiny little mustard seed that grows into this giant plant. And so that's what he's sharing with the multitudes. You can keep your finger here and go back to Mark 4, verse 33. Mark 4, 33 says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Okay. So this is where it says that after he had finished teaching the multitudes and they were alone, he shared what the meaning of it was to his disciples. You can go back to Matthew 13, verse 36. And in Matthew, again, it speaks of some of the explanation. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares, the weeds of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That doesn't sound like a very happy ending. Verse 43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." So again, he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is another term for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. Like a guy goes out, he's looking for land to buy, and he stumbles across treasure in this land. And he hides it so that nobody else can find it before he goes and buys the field. And with great joy, he sells everything that he has. He gives up everything that he owns, forsakes all that he has to get that field. That's what the kingdom of God is like, that we'd give up everything that we had if it meant being with God, if it meant being sons of God. Verse 45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay, the same principle. He's willing to give up everything that he has to get this treasure because it's that valuable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? Have I explained it to you properly? And they said unto him, yea, Lord, yes, you have. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. And a scribe is someone who knew the law. Right? A scribe is somebody who studied the law. And Jesus, in liking this person, if a scribe understood the law and was then instructed in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, then he was like someone who brings out treasures both new and old. He understood the law, which was God's word to the people at the time, and is now able to understand the kingdom of God and what's coming, which is a treasure that's yet to be available for them. So he likened that someone who knows the law and understood what was coming had treasures both new and old. So we learn something interesting that's going to be important in our further understanding of the kingdom of God, that it speaks of it in two phases. The children, when they were the seed sown by the Son of Man, versus the children when they shine forth as the sun in the end of the world. And those two phases are things that Jesus Christ expounds upon later in his teachings. He talks about the gathering of men together, which is sort of as we learn and we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and we become born again, and then what the future holds, which is when we get to go to heaven, when we get to be with God, when we shine forth as lights at the end of the world, which is kind of cool. So these are the parables that Jesus Christ shared with the multitude and then expounded to his disciples.